What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And as most Mondays normally go, John Kegley is back on the show with us today because we are running our first mock draft Monday show today. We're going to do our first one-round mock draft 1.0 at the end of the show. So you're going to want to stick around for that because we're going to build that out next week. It's 2 weeks and 3 weeks and so on and so forth. So I'm excited to do our first version of that at the end of the show. But we're going to start the show with the biggest news that happened last week, and that was the Austin Ekeler signing that I'm sure all of you heard about by now. We'll talk about the significance of that, and we'll also get into our voicemails as we do every Monday. We have three voicemails to get into today, so you know it's going to be a long show. So I'm really excited to get into those because we have some about Dwayne Haskins, we have some about Isaiah Simmons, and a bunch of other stuff I'm excited to talk about. But let's go ahead and get into it. The Chargers made news last week when they traded Russell Okung to the Panthers for five-time Pro Bowler Trey Turner. And later on in the week, they signed a running back to a multi-year extension, but it wasn't the one that they picked in the first round. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. One day after reports came out that Melvin Gordon would test the waters in free agency coming up, ESPN's Adam Schefter came out with a report that said the Chargers had signed restricted free agent running back Austin Ekeler to a four-year $24.5 million deal that includes $15 million guaranteed. So, David, the first domino has fallen for the Chargers as far as bringing back their own players and extensions. Now, the Chargers get Austin Ekeler on a multi-year deal. They do not have to tender him. They do not let any other team have a shot at him. And it seems to be a really good deal because we all knew last year Melvin Gordon wanted double digits in the millions as far as how much money he wanted per season. Now the Chargers lock up Austin Ekeler with the 10th highest contract amongst running backs, which you'll absolutely live with what he's able to bring. So not only does it seem like a really good move for the Chargers getting him on a multi-year extension, it also seems like they got him at a bargain.
No question about it, Daniel. When you have to tally up all the things that Austin Ekeler brings to the table as far as a receiver, second highest graded receiver of any position in the NFL last year. I mean, that's how dynamic of a receiver he was and how important he was to the passing game. I mean, he brought 8 touchdowns. This is a guy who has a great route tree. He's obviously incredibly dangerous after the catch. Just an explosive player. He has a lot of explosive plays, 10, 20 plus yard plays. It happened a lot last year, and he's happened for the last couple of years. So it's really nice to see Austin Ekeler get rewarded after, you know, being an undrafted free agent and really fighting and clawing his way onto a roster to carve out a role for himself on this team. And now he's going to see himself with the Chargers for the next 4 years. And it seems like a deal that was good for both parties.
It does seem like the Chargers found a really good value for this contract, especially at running back, which is a position that it's hard to get value for a top-tier running back, which most people think of Austin Ekeler as more of a receiving threat, but he is the entire package. Just from field yards, he led all NFL players in catches without a drop with 92. His 993 receiving yards were 12th most by a running back ever, second most in the league this season behind Christian McCaffrey. He had 10 games with 5-plus catches. I mean, the numbers go on. And when you look at the deals for guys like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley that go between $13 and $15 million, it just seems like there's not much of a better deal that could be had at the running back for what he brings to the table as a multi-purpose. But I think, David, one thing that's significant about this deal is it does seem like it is the end of the Chargers' time with Melvin Gordon more than ever, because to some extent, it seemed like it was a choice between the two of them. Melvin Gordon is now testing free agency. The Chargers bring back Austin Ekeler, and it seems like the Chargers made their choice between an undrafted free agent and their former first-round pick.
The Chargers sometimes hold close to their veterans and their guys, but I think in this situation, they recognize that the person that would be easier to replace in this situation was Melvin Gordon, the guy who's the bruiser. He's going to be the physical type running back that's going to get you into the end zone, that's going to have success in the red zone, that's going to get those tough yards. They've probably felt like they could get value and try to replace that type of running back somewhere throughout the draft. The more dynamic player was Austin Ekeler, and I think that analysis was correct. Coming from a first-round pick that the Chargers actually traded up to select Melvin Gordon and comparing him to undrafted free agent Austin Ekeler, and to see which one of those guys actually got rewarded with the multi-year deal is just goes to show you that in this situation, if you're the better player, then you're going to get rewarded, and that's what happened with Austin Ekeler.
And it does seem like the Chargers rewarded the player that is more invaluable to their offense. He is just such a key part of what they want to do and opens the playbook up for them so much. And especially with the zone running scheme you're hearing rumors about that the Chargers might deploy next year, and thinking about him, you know, being able to find a crease and what he's able to do when he gets to the second level and how hard he is to bring down. The Chargers hit an absolute home run with this one, two in the same week for the Chargers. General manager Tom Telesco has been very active and the praise has been coming in for him because it seems like he's two for two with the guys that he's brought back and brought in free agency so far in 2020. But we do have two more segments to get into. Next, we are going to be getting into our voicemails. We have three to talk about today. A lot of good stuff there before we end the show with our first mock draft version 1.0 with our first round pick in 2020 coming up at the end. And that is all coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it is Monday, so you know what that means. We're going to get into some voicemails. I'm excited about the voicemails we have this week because not only do we have a new caller, which is always something that I like to see, anyone calling in for the first time. Some good questions being asked today, and we have three to get into with John Kegley. As always, the King Pessimist is here, so he'll be here to kind of even things out as he always is. So let's start with the one who called first, which is Zach from Florida, who's been one of our most frequent callers, and we always appreciate the calls. And for everyone else out there, the number is 323-524-7924 if you guys want to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. Let's hear what Zach has for us this week.
Hey, this is Zach from Florida. So I might be reading too much into this, but there was a report that I read that new Washington Redskins head coach Ron Rivera told Tua, or at least hinted at Tua, that he would take him with the second pick to replace Dwayne Haskins. Now, if that is true, then I think we should try to swoop in and trade for Haskins. He does have a little experience in the league now, and he's very young, so I think we could potentially have our quarterback of the future. Now, Tua might have to sit for a year, but if you see more experience from Haskins and they decide to go away from him, then why not have the Chargers try to get him to be their future quarterback? Want to get your thoughts and bolt up.
All right, so this is an interesting question just because I think one of the most interesting things about the draft is just the fact that there's so many smoke screens going around and you don't really ever know what any team's intentions are. But I think it is legitimate that Ron Rivera could be trying to go after one of these quarterbacks if he likes them better than Dwayne Haskins, which isn't a total stretch, especially since he'll have the pick of them. I think it's crazy to pass up Chase Young. In this scenario, John, he wants them to consider trading for Dwayne Haskins, which it was a little confusing as part of the voicemail because he said, you know, maybe they let Tua sit for a year behind Dwayne Haskins and then they trade for him. I mean, if they draft Tua Tagovailoa, they're going to have Dwayne Haskins traded before the season starts because that would just be a total mess. I mean, we saw with Arizona Cardinals, he has to be gone for that situation to go down. But John, what would you think of the Chargers going after another first round pick instead of trying to take one of the picks in this year's draft?
Well, I would like to say I would like to avoid Dwayne Haskins. He is not going to be successful in the NFL. He struggled a lot with the Redskins. You can blame it on coaching all you want, but there was so many things such as couldn't even run a play right, overthrowing receivers, not making the right audibles. There was just so many things he was doing wrong. He couldn't even sit in the pocket well. He was under pressure even when there wasn't pressure. Like, that's the best way to explain him in the pocket. I would like to avoid him completely. And when have you last seen an Ohio State quarterback that was actually a good or a great franchise quarterback in the NFL? Some of the latest ones would be like Troy Smith, Braxton Miller, guys like that, even Cardale Jones, Terrell Pryor. Some of them had to turn into a wide receiver because they weren't good at being a quarterback. Even Kenny Guyton, who came from Ohio State as a good quarterback, had to go be a wide receiver in the Arena Football League. Ohio State doesn't create quarterbacks.
I don't think it's as crazy as you think it is, obviously. I mean, I don't think I would trade the number 6 overall pick for him, but he had higher grades from a lot of people than guys like Justin Herbert or Jordan Love. So I don't think it's totally crazy, but I think all of those things are concerns. Obviously, he ended the year on a hot streak. I saw this from Bucky Brooks at NFL.com. His last two games, he had a 67.1 completion percentage, a 5-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and he also had 120-plus passer rating in each of his last two games. So you saw some flashes there. He has arm talent. He has really good accuracy. So I don't think it's as crazy as it seems. All right, so to go to the second one, this time we have Logan from Tempe, Arizona, who is calling in for his first time. Let's hear what Logan has for us this week.
What's up, guys? My name's Logan, calling from Tempe. I love the show. Listen every day on the way to work. And I just wanted to throw something to you guys and see what you thought. So this is not an overreaction to the combine, but Isaiah Simmons is the truth, and I think the Chargers should draft him at number 6, and here's a couple of reasons why. One, I do not think that our quarterback of the future or somebody who's going to help us win now is going to be available at 6. I think we can get somebody in free agency or roll with Tyrod Taylor. Realistically, I think that the Chargers quarterback situation should be addressed in the future, like next year or possibly years after that, just because I think that there's too much to lose if we miss out on Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons can play corner, he can play safety, he can play linebacker, he can rush the passer. That fills so many holes, and I think our Achilles heel has always been injuries. We've seen it a lot on defense. All over the place, we've seen guys go down, and it tanks our season. I think the offensive line absolutely needs to be addressed, but I think we can totally get upgrades over Sam Tevy in the second, third round. This is a pretty deep draft when it comes to tackles. We can upgrade there and through free agency. We can get a wide receiver in the fourth or fifth round that can play number 3 wide receiver for us. I think we can really do a lot of damage with Isaiah Simmons and make teams have to game plan against our defense. If we pair him with Derwin James, I think it'll be possibly the best defense in the NFL and cover up a lot of holes for us. I want to see what you guys think. Give me your thoughts and bolt up.
Well, first, let me just say that I do appreciate you calling in for the first time. We're always happy to hear from anyone that wants to get in on the show. And I think we'll have some good answers for you for whatever questions you have in the future. But for this one specifically, let me just start by saying, I mean, I love Isaiah Simmons as much as anyone else. David, I know that you're pretty high on Isaiah Simmons. So in this thing where he has, you know, addressing the offensive line in the second or third, maybe receivers can wait till fourth or fifth. How would you feel about the Chargers just going with Isaiah Simmons, even though it's not necessarily a big need?
But I mean, what a tantalizing prospect, huh? I mean, wow. I mean, this guy, incredible size and speed, playmaking ability. Like, you know, he mentioned, like Logan mentioned, a guy that's very multiple that can really affect multiple spots on the football field. I mean, and to think about pairing him with Derwin James, trying to chase down these really speedy wide receivers in the AFC West, I think it would absolutely make the defense immediately better. I mean, and barring what they do in free agency, which I still believe is going to have an impact on what they do in the draft, that could be a really, really good move. Anytime you have the opportunity to add more speed to your defense and more playmakers to your defense, I think you take that opportunity, especially if he's the best player available at that spot.
And you never know. He could be in one of our mock drafts at the end of the show. You'll just have to wait and find out. But we do have one more caller calling in, one of our new favorite callers. We have Craig calling in. I know John has some beef with this one, so let's hear what Craig has to say this week.
Fellas, it's Craig. I want to start off by saying, ding dong, Travis Benjamin's gone, and I couldn't be happier about it. Man, I couldn't stomach another year of a wide receiver who can't catch, slash a football player who's deathly afraid of contact, stealing money from my team for another season. So I'm super duper happy that that's over and done with. This Trey Turner news is really exciting as well. I didn't necessarily see Okun coming back anyway. I figured he would be traded after that news dropped about him not being comfortable with the direction of the team. Generally not a good sign about that player's future, especially once they go public with stuff like that. What I am a bit concerned about is, yes, now our tackle situation, but take this into account. Jason Peters is being allowed to seek out a new team. Jason Peters from the Eagles. And yes, he is an older player, but being that Pipkins is still at least a year away, he could definitely be a bridge left tackle, to give Pipkins that extra time to develop. And also, I mean, at least at that point, he's still a viable backup option in the event that, Peters does get injured, because he has a tendency to do that in his older stages. Also, we do have to keep in mind that James Campen, Brian Bulaga connection, that's still on the table there. And as free agency kind of rolls around, we get to kind of see how the pieces fall into place. Really excited about that. So I'm kind of now reserving my draft speculation until after I see what happens in free agency, because at this point, as much of a Jordan Love fan as I am, I'm not necessarily okay with taking him at 6. I would love to trade back if humanly possible, but what works out even better for me is if somehow Isaiah Simmons falls to 6, we take him there. And, I mean, I would even be comfortable at that point with going Jalen Hurts in, like, the 3rd round. I mean, if you can give me an Isaiah Simmons in the 1st, depending on whether we go tackle or not in free agency, a top available tackle in the 2nd, or, you know, wide receivers plentiful in the draft, get our wide receiver 3, like a guy like K.J. Hamler, I'd be all good with it. But, again, anxious to hear what you guys think about it. I guess I didn't necessarily ask a question. So with that said, just kind of what direction do you think you want the team to go in if they don't necessarily go offensive tackle or quarterback in the 1st round? Thanks, guys. Talk soon. Bolt up.
So first, let me just say that John's biggest beef is John is very sad that Travis Benjamin's gone. So I know John really disagreed with that. So I think that's really where it all started. No, I'm just kidding about that. But John, I know one of the things you had an issue with all of this just is the Jalen Hurts maybe in the 3rd round. And I'm in the same camp as you, but tell me why you would disagree with what Craig had to say.
All right. First, I'd like to say, as someone who actually had dinner with Travis Benjamin, see ya. I'm glad you ain't here no more. Go be bad at someone else's team. I'm sure Daniel Jones would love to have you on the Giants. Second, I don't want Jalen Hurts anywhere on the Chargers. This guy is bad news. He looks good at Oklahoma, but he had a system. The Chargers are not going to have the same system. They're not going to have the same weapons unless you somehow find a way to get Marquise Hollywood Brown or get CeeDee Lamb, or get both of them, really, and make that your vocal point of the offense. Even though you just got Austin Ekeler, you don't really have a good chance at making Jalen Hurts work for you, because he's not going to be a good pocket presence QB. Avoid him at all costs. I don't care if you got him in the 3rd round, the 7th round, whatever. Avoid him.
And I think you don't want to get caught up in just taking a quarterback just because he's there and because you skipped out on it in the 1st round. But the good news is you're going to get the mock draft at the end of the show, and we may or may not all be selecting at a position that isn't quarterback. So I think you'll get a lot of non-QB position mock draft picks from us, because none of us could potentially be going with a quarterback at the 6th overall pick in our mock draft coming up. But the rest of what you said, you know, maybe James Campen, the Brian Bulaga thing pans out, you get him to be right tackle. Maybe you get Jason Peters at left tackle, you have him in the short term to let a guy like Pipkins develop, or you go after somebody else in the future. So all of that stuff, I mean, I totally am in agreement. I think if you come out of the 1st round without one of those tackles, I mean, I know maybe Austin Jackson gets to the 2nd round, but that's pretty unlikely at this point with teams wanting to take tackles in the 1st round. I think that's the biggest thing you have to look at. But in this situation, you get both tackles covered. I love Isaiah Simmons as a pick, because that's just one less thing. And like we've already talked about, I'm not huge on these quarterbacks. But we do have one more segment to get into. It is the Locked On Chargers mock draft version 1.0. See who we pick and why coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it is time for the mock draft 1.0 from the Locked On Chargers podcast. We have all three of the original hosts on the show today to make our picks for the Chargers in the 1st round. So this is just going to be, obviously, the first time we do this. This is going to be a 1-round mock draft. Next week, it'll be a 2-round mock draft. Next week after that, it'll be 3 rounds, and so on and so forth, until we're just doing entire weeks of mock drafts. No, I'm just kidding. But we have a lot of days to talk about it and a lot of days to fill. So this is the official first mock draft from us. I'm excited to get into it. I'm excited to hear your guys' reasoning for the picks that you have. But John, as always, I'm most excited to see what you have to say for the Chargers going in the 1st round pick, because you are a very critical scout I would say, I mean, you're somebody that sees a lot of flaws and has problems getting past certain things. So for your pick of the Chargers, sixth overall, the 2020 draft, where are you going in your first official mock from the podcast?
With Tyler Bass, the kicker out of Georgia Southern.
You don't want the Arizona State punter that can put up like 25 or 30 reps on the bench press? Come on.
What about Digger, the kicker, man?
Oh,
I got to see both of those guys a lot. And Arizona State guy I saw in person, that guy could kick. But I'm going with Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. So as of right now, that combine he displayed won me over. I already loved what I saw game film-wise. And I think he would fit really well with what the Chargers want to do with running the ball. And with how good his footwork is, I think they can really develop him into a pocket presence, left tackle or right tackle. I think he should be able to play both. So I'd want to go with that and then save quarterback for later. But if you could, maybe trade back a few spots to like the ninth pick and get him so that you have another draft pick in the second round. That's where I would like to go mock draft-wise for the first round.
I love that pick. And I think that any questions about if he was athletic enough to stay on the outside at the next level were answered at the combine. He's a guy I've been very high on. I mean, I think when you're looking at these tackles in this draft, you're kind of splitting hairs a little bit because there's a lot of really good prospects coming out, and it's a notoriously loaded draft class at offensive tackle. I wouldn't dislike that pick at all. I think you probably could trade back to get him, even though the mock draft simulator always comes up with him getting off the board before the Chargers pick, but I think he is very realistic to be there at six. You could probably even trade back potentially and get him. I've seen him going as low as 11th in some places, so I think that's an option as well, and you open that up. But I think if you come away with a for sure starting offensive lineman on the outside at either tackle position, depending on how free agency goes, and with him not even as much because he's so much more flexible, I think he could have a future at left tackle. I think that obviously is a good pick. So David, he is going with the offensive lineman for your first mock draft for the Locked On Chargers podcast. Where are you going with the sixth overall pick?
So in my scenario here with the sixth overall pick here in the 2020 draft, I'm assuming that the Chargers are going to go out there and address, you know, the tackle position in free agency. They're going to go pick up Brian Bulaga and have him play right tackle. And they're going to go pick up Jason Peters and let him play left tackle for a year. And then, you know, so that's going to open things up for taking best player available. And for me at that position in the mock drafts that I've done, that manifests itself in the form of the 6'4" Clemson Tiger, Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons, the speed demon, 4.39 40-yard dash, a guy that can play multiple positions on the football field, a stat line that truly showcases how multiple he is. 67 solo tackles, 7 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 interceptions. He's getting after the quarterback. He's getting the ball carrier on the ground, and he's taking the ball, and he's taking the ball away and getting you turnovers. So this is a guy that impacts the game in pretty much every facet of the defense, a guy that's going to help you combat the speedy wide receivers, not only in the AFC West, but that are going to be coming into the NFL next season. Speed is always a concept that every NFL team wants to bring and wants to add. So that means you need to add that to combat that for you. More athletes you have on the defensive side, the more dogs like Derwin James you add, you're definitely going to have a much more productive defense. That is exactly what would happen if you added Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of Isaiah Simmons' game is just how fast he gets downhill, and it reminds you of a guy like Derwin James. I mean, how many times have we seen him just close the gap on running backs in the flat or receivers in just a heartbeat? I mean, one of the first times you really saw him pop on tape was against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he tracks down a deep ball that's intended for Tyreek Hill in the back of the end zone, and he catches up and gets a hand on it. And you're just kind of thinking, like, how did he cover that ground? That's what you get with Isaiah Simmons. I mean, and we've seen Derwin James rush the passer. He looks a lot like that. I mean, maybe even better. 8 sacks last year. You combine that with 3 interceptions. I mean, the chess pieces that Gus Bradley would be able to play with would just be ridiculous with Isaiah Simmons. I absolutely love his game. Wherever he goes, I mean, you just hope that he goes to a place where they're willing to use him creatively, because that is where he's at his best. I mean, he can literally even play corner, slot corner if you need it, even outside. Who knows what that guy could or could not do. But I love Isaiah Simmons at the sixth overall pick. But that also does bring about the fact that, hey, you still don't have a quarterback now. In your situation, they get two offensive tackles, which might be a little unlikely given, you know, Tom Telesco's resume. But, I mean, hey, we've already seen things we didn't think we would see from Tom Telesco this offseason already. So for me, when I was thinking about my situation, I think the most likely player to be there, when you combine that with what the Chargers are most likely to do with free agency, that's what kind of came to mind for me. So for me, I think what Tom Telesco is known for is being cheap, right? In the best way possible, getting bargain deals. I think in this offseason, getting Brian Bulaga or Jack Conklin would be nice. But that's not really what Tom Telesco has done in the past. He already has big guaranteed money now tied up in Trey Turner. I just don't know how much they're going to put on that offensive line, whether it needs it or not. I think the more likely thing to happen would be the Chargers would try to find a short-term stopgap at left tackle, and then they would probably try to either roll out whatever combination at right tackle, or in this case, address right tackle in the draft and roll with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback or attack a quarterback later on the draft, because I'm going to pick Jedrick Wills as my first number six overall pick. It seems like he's been kind of falling down boards a little bit, going 11th to the Jets and falling down a little bit more, but that's just not been enough to sway me. If the Chargers can find something short-term in free agency coming up at left tackle, this would be a plug-and-play starter at the right tackle position. You love what he brings to the table as far as grit. He moves people out of the way, and he just has that nastiness that you love to see out of offensive linemen. I mean, he finishes blocks. He's going to absolutely put you in the dirt if he can. If he gets out in space and he's running in the second level, he'll plant a cornerback easily into the ground. I absolutely love what he's been able to do. Even as, I mean, a pass protector, the way he mirrors the effectiveness of his punch, the strength that he has in his anchor. I mean, you just don't see guys bull rushing through him almost ever. I really love what I've seen out of Jedrick Wills. And I think if you can just plug him into right tackle, and we've never seen him play left tackle, so we don't know that. But I think it's kind of foolish for people to just assume he'll only be a right tackle. But for me, John, I know it's, I mean, it might sound crazy, but if I come out with a dominant right tackle out of this draft class with the sixth overall pick and I have a plug-and-play starter there, I think that's a win. And I think as far as the tools go and what I've seen from him, I think he's can't miss.
I'd personally be fine with either one of those. If it was Tristan Wirfs or him.
I'm the same way. Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm fine with either one because you got a really good, could start immediately offensive lineman and you beef up your offensive line. Either way, you work with it. Me personally, I think trading back to get Wirfs would give you an extra draft pick, which is why I went with that one instead. But if the Chargers don't trade, I'd be totally fine with your scenario as well. But I don't want to see us doing things like getting a reach, like getting Jordan Love at six when you could trade back at like the 20th pick and get him probably. Like, I don't want to see reaches. So if the Chargers don't want to go with either of those two guys, trade back and make the move smarter. I'm really hoping the trade actually happens and the Chargers go back a few picks.
Well, and imagine both of those guys are sitting there at six. And you know, hey, if I move back to, say, nine with the Jacksonville Jaguars, more than likely I'm still going to get one of these guys. I mean, I think that's a pretty smart thing to do if you're going to go with an offensive lineman. But I know the quarterback is the sexy pick here, but I just think for me, what's the most important thing for a quarterback? I mean, weapons in an offensive line. You have the weapons. Can you solidify the offensive line for whoever that quarterback is? I like other quarterbacks' value better than I like what you're getting from Jordan Love, Justin Herbert right now. So hey, if you want to trade back a little bit, then you go Jordan Love. I'm cool with that. If you want to try to trade back into the first round to nab a quarterback, if one starts sliding a little bit, I'm good with that too. But for sixth overall, I have no problem with any of us not taking a quarterback with that pick. I think there's just some really good prospects. I mean, you can try to get offensive tackles and develop them, but I think coaching staff and its past track record, you need to try to get the best available one and just kind of hope your coaching staff doesn't mess it up, because we've tried to see them go for potential and project players, and the project turns into, hey, we had this guy for 3 years, he doesn't ever start, and we cut him. That's exactly what you don't want to see. But that does wrap up mock draft version 1.0. That was really fun. I'm excited to get into two picks for you guys each next week and going forward until the draft. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Tomorrow we'll be getting into some free agency stuff because we have free agency right around the corner, and that is going to determine so much of the stuff that's happening in the draft coming up. So really excited to get into that. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from. Leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you want to hear more of on the show. And you can find it wherever you get your podcasts from. So if you guys want to call in the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, the number is 323-524-7924. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.